Wow. You guys have done amazing today. I spoke about encouragement in Bible class, and you have encouraged me. The way you got up for Bible class, let me tell you. I have been at Azalea City a long time. And I have been preaching here since the end of 2010. And I have, ever since then, paid more attention to numbers than I probably ever should have. But sometimes numbers are a good thing to reflect on. This morning, in my time paying attention to Bible class numbers, we've had more than my memory can ever remember. We had 216 people here for Bible class today. Listen, that's remarkable. That tells me that it really matters. And listen, some have a world of issues going on, and you still got here for worship, and I appreciate that. In fact, it is just such a blessing to me. And so to all those Bible class teachers who've worked so hard, and our deacons and ministry leaders and such, thank you for planning good material, getting good teachers, and everybody being willing. So, again, I've had a lot of good news. I mean, when you just sit two rows in front of Danny Irwin and he is singing tenor and those hallelujahs earlier, I mean, you can't help but know that the Lord is in this place. And so I'm blessed today, but I'm blessed even more because we have some folks who've been visiting with us, who decided that today they are ready to officially be members of the Azalea City Church of Christ. I have gotten to know this family over the years from my time visiting and preaching at the place that they're coming from. Do want to tell you that these are two of the finest people walking the earth. And I am so thankful to call them my friends, and I'm so thankful to call them my brother and sister. So please help welcome Jesse and Sue King. If you guys would, stand up for us. They are officially part of Azalea City. And what Brother Jesse told me was, in fact, they want to meet with the elders Wednesday night. You know why? Not to complain, not to do that, to say, hey, we're ready to go to work. And he said, I want to go to work. I understand Brother Jesse's a wonderful Bible class teacher, so Jeff May will be probably seeing you pretty soon. Miss Sue does so many wonderful things, and what a blessing the Kings are. In fact, Brother Jesse's been an elder in the church, and so brings a lot of knowledge and a lot of wisdom their family does to us, and are hard workers. And so thank y'all for being here and being a part. Get to know them. Get to know everybody. Use the app. Use the app. We've got pictures in there, and we're getting those maybe that we don't have yet. Just get to know one another. Today I want to talk with you about evangelism and worship. Here's why I want to talk about evangelism and worship, because I believe they go hand in hand. You see, the Bible reminds us that we are to declare God's praises. How do we declare His praises? Well, maybe there's a couple ways, right? One, we've done it this morning. Jason, I mean, just wonderful job picking out our songs today. You know, sometimes all our song leaders do a great job, but sometimes, you know, it just seems like it just hits just perfectly in my heart of hearts, and maybe that's I need to be better all the time. But today, I don't know, on every word I could just see our praise being lifted to God. And so that is one way we declare His praises. Now, again, I've challenged us. I said it in my prayer this morning. I also challenge it in Bible class. I've challenged it in here, that if we're not singing, folks, let's not think that, oh, well, I don't want anybody to hear me sing because I don't sing very well. Well, the one you want to hear sing, you want him to hear you sing, and that is God. We are singing to God. And so, yes, we declare His praises by singing them. There's a whole great book of Psalms that talks about the praises of God. Reagan read to us from a passage we'll refer to later, Psalm 96 today, praising God, declaring His praises. But we shouldn't just sing His praises in here on Sunday morning and back there on Wednesday night. We better be singing them everywhere. Because everything we do, every step we take, every breath we breathe, once we are obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's about bringing praise and glory to God Almighty. And that is our duty. That is our job. And so I want you to think of evangelism and worship going hand in hand today. Evangelism is not just about getting people to church. It's not just about getting people to church. It's about getting the church into people. That's what our duty is. Our duty as brothers and sisters and workers of the kingdom of God, we are to get the church into people. We are to lead them to Jesus Christ. Listen, I understand we can't make anyone do anything. We can plant and we can water. That's what's required of us. God supplies the increase, but we certainly have to plant and water. That's our duty. And oftentimes we separate worship and we separate evangelism. We know that they're both important. We know that they're both vital. But we think about, hey, worship, I did that on Sunday. What I did on Sunday was worship. So the other, evangelism, we avoid during the week. You see, I worshiped, but sometimes I forget to evangelize. Or maybe I evangelized. I got people to church, and then I forget to worship. Well, here's what Peter did. On the next slide, you'll see here in 1 Peter 2:9, a passage we're very familiar with because I've shared it many Sundays this year. Peter ties evangelism and worship together. But you, us, right, the church, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. Why? Why are we all of those things? That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Evangelism, according to Peter, according to the Holy Spirit, is not a command that should just be this cold feeling and I get chills about it and I get nervous about it. What it is a warm outpouring of praise. All God has asked us to do is plant and water. What if we were singing and living, "Behold our God," to those we work with on Monday? To those we, yes, I know it started back, go to school with on Monday. What if we had a song on our heart? Paul and Silas in the prison in Philippi, they baptized that jailer when it was all said and done and his household, and to my knowledge, they didn't preach a whole lot of words to them. You know what they were doing after they had been beaten, after they had been put in maximum security in the inner prison, shackled up so that they could not get out with a jailer tending to them. They were declaring praises to God. They evangelized because they had a song on their heart. Jesus was so much in them that He had to come out. So church, as we get into this, I want you to know this. Worship doesn't end when the last song fades today. It continues when our lives declare His praises. So how do we do that? How do we get it together? Number one, we need to understand our identity fuels our invitation. Going back to 1 Peter 2:9. And again, I've used this many sermons this year, but it's so important because it goes right along with our theme. But this is how we get to be living stones. After we're these living stones connected to the chief cornerstone, here's what Peter, the Holy Spirit, reminds us. A chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. And we're all that in order that you may proclaim. Here's what's happened. God has invited us in. Aren't you so thankful for that? We are, as a Gentile nation, the only way we could get in is through the invitation of God and the act of Jesus Christ. God invited the Gentiles in to be His holy people, His own special possession. We were grafted in because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and His blood that was spilled and His resurrection from the grave. God, through the baptism of being immersed into Jesus, grafts us into the true vine. That was an invitation. He invited you and He invited me to come in. Now that we're in, what do? Well, we better get busy. You see, that's the point. We've got to know who we are and remember whose we are, and remember that is part of the invitation. That is part of the duty. Who are we in Christ? Just as a reminder, number one, we're chosen. We didn't stumble into faith by accident. We were chosen. God, in His infinite love for us, chose us. What a blessing, right? What a gift. What a reminder. What beauty. In Ephesians 1:4, Paul writes there, He chose us in Him, you know when? Before the creation of the world. God chose us. Before anything else was created that we know, God chose us. We were not an afterthought. We are His deliberate, cherished possession. Number two, we remember as far as our identity goes, we're royal priests. You know what the priesthood did, right? They intermediated between the people and God. That was the duty of the priests under the old law. They were the mediation between God and the people. Well, Jesus Christ today is our high priest. And He is our mediator. But you know what? Through Jesus, we too are now priests. We're priests because that's what the Bible refers to us as. Now, we're not middlemen. Jesus is that middleman. We are not middlemen. We can approach God. You can approach God because that wall of separation has been torn down. We have direct access to His throne. What a blessing that is, because now you are a priest of God and the wall of separation is torn down and Jesus is the high priest forever. We have direct access to Him. That's what inviting us came into. He changed our identity. We went from nobody, so to speak, to chosen. We went from unholy Gentiles to royal priests. But then He also says, you're a holy nation. You know what that means? It means we're set apart. Why are we set apart? So that we can reflect Him. So that we can reflect His character. We're His people. He's our God. He's holy. We must be holy. And then finally, our identity, according to 1 Peter 2:9, is we're His possession. The Greek word for possession implies something treasured and set apart for a purpose. You know, maybe you've had that money for the rainy day, so to speak, set aside. Or maybe you had that heirloom that's been gifted down through several generations. You've set aside and it doesn't have a price on it. It's invaluable, right? Nobody can buy it from you. That's what we are to God. There was a day when a storm was coming. And that storm was Satan. That storm is when we reach that age of accountability, he's going to rain down all kinds of things in our lives. But when we choose God, there's that rainbow in the clouds. There's that promise. There's that sunshine. There's that place out of danger as he hides us in the cleft of the rock. You see, that's the beauty of God. We belong to him. He's going to protect us. We're not ordinary. We're his masterpiece. We're redeemed by the precious blood of his son. So when we remember who we are, that's just a refresher course this morning. When we remember we're chosen, we're royal priests, we're his possession, we're his holy people, when we remember all those things, we can't help but invite others into the identity that he invited us into, right? Am I right? I mean, once I remember, when I leave out of here, I belong to God. I'm his holy person, his holy people. He chose me. I'm a royal priest. How does that make you feel today? It ought to make you feel as great as anything that you could ever imagine, plus infinity. Here's why. Because it is the greatest feeling in the world. And so, do you want to hold that in? Do I want to hold that in? No. So we go out here and we sing his praises. And we evangelize through declaring the praises of God. You know, it'd be like if you were adopted out of poverty into royalty. You know what you'd do if you did that? You'd tell everyone. You would tell everyone you could that if you were in poverty and now you're royalty, you would declare everyone. Please, I'm not on that one yet. Sorry. You'd tell everyone. That's our story in Christ. We were rescued from darkness. Why should we stay silent? Folks, we got to sing. We got to sing his praises. We got to declare his praises because our identity is him. We belong to him. And people should see him living in us. That's why when we leave out of here singing the praises of God, it needs to carry over into our life. In all we do, in all we say, in all we live. Evangelism begins with identity. You don't need to be a Bible scholar, thanks be to God, right? We don't have to be Bible scholars. We just need to be someone who's been rescued. Rescued from darkness. And now all we need to say is, hey, I was rescued from darkness. Why don't you come and see how you can be rescued as well? Now number two, our praise declares his power. In Psalm 96:3, I love Psalm 96. Again, that's why I picked it for Reagan and he did such a great job reading it. In Psalm 96:3, the psalmist there is writing a praise, but here's what he says inside of his praise. Declare his glory among the nations. His marvelous works among all the peoples. You know what evangelism should equal? It should equal another E word, exaltation. When we evangelize, we're going to bring praise to God and our Redeemer. By the way, we don't have a choice. It's our mission. It's who we are. We're to declare His Word. We're to declare His praise. But we should always give glory to God. That's why it's so important. When people say, hey, what's different about you? Let me tell you what God has done for me. Let me show you what God can do for you. When I've got that song on my heart, or I'm living that praise, or I'm living that whatever, that's what the Philippian jailer, he didn't need to hear a sermon. He saw it. These men can take a beating. They can be put in an inner prison. They can be threatened. They can have all these things happen. And they're still declaring his praises? Sign me up for that. I want what they have. They were exalting Him. So when we look at evangelism as part of our worship, as part of our obedience to God, just like we sing in church to honor God, we better speak outside the church to glorify Him as well. The same heart that sings, God is so good, should, in word, say the same thing to their neighbor. If God has truly worked marvels in our lives, we're going to declare it. I've told you this before. But if somebody today wrote off all your debt, wrote off everything that you owed, and then gave you millions of dollars on top of that, you'd never forget them. You'd never quit singing their praises. You'd do great things for them. You'd go out of your way to find them. You'd go out of your way if they moved across the country to go visit them. You would do all those things because they paid off all your earthly debt and gave you earthly money. What about the spiritual debt? What about the debt that we could not, nobody could pay? Nobody in this room, nobody with the richest people on the planet could not pay off the spiritual debt we have. But the precious blood of Jesus did. God paid it off through the gift of His very own Son. Are we praising Him for it? Are we going outside these walls and declaring His praises because of what He's done for us? So it leads us to number three. Our mission extends His majesty. Our mission extends His majesty. Harrison read to us from what we call the Great Commission, right? Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. When I told you earlier we don't have a choice, listen to this. Not my words, but Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Now, the ones He's saying that to directly are His disciples. We know that. Now they're apostles, right? Because they've been with Jesus before and they've been with seen the risen Savior after. They're His apostles now. And we know what's about to happen. This is the end of Matthew. The book of Acts is about to take place. Acts 1, then Acts 2. The Holy Spirit's coming down. The church is going to come into it. That's what Jesus wanted all along. So, while He tells them, go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them. While He says all those things, you know what they didn't do? Oh my goodness, seems like so much work. Or, hey, you know what? You know, I'm just going to coast. I'm glad He saved me. I'm glad He picked me. But I'm going to let Matthew carry the load. I'm going to let Peter carry the load. I'm just going to sit back and not do a whole lot. I'm going to let everybody else do it. Peter will get up and he'll preach on Pentecost. Jesus gave him the keys. I mean, they didn't do that. They didn't do that at all. In fact, they counted it all joy because they were able to suffer for the cause of Christ. How much do we complain? How much do we say, oh, somebody else will do that? You see, folks, when you were invited in, and I was invited in, we accepted the invitation, then we said, hey, what's my mission? Jesus said, your mission's the same as everyone else's. Declare Him. Teach Him. Baptize others so that they can do the same. Evangelism is not optional. The Great Commission is not the great suggestion. Go is not a passive word. It's a purposeful action. Jesus didn't say this, "Hey, disciples, followers of me, attend church faithfully and just be quiet." That's not what He said at all. He said, go make disciples. You know what you got to do when you make disciples? You got to talk. You got to tell. You got to declare. We've got to evangelize. You see, a life of worship means it's a life of mission. Worship is more than just Sunday. I mean, how many times have we said that? It's more than just today. If today is the only worship we're going to do this week, then your spiritual life is weak. I'm just telling you. If today is the only Bible study you're going to do today, then your spiritual life is weak. If this is the only prayer, again, I could go on and on. Folks, it is not. It is a lifestyle change. You hear people talk about all the time, "Oh, I want to lose some weight." Well, most of the time to lose some weight, yeah, you could go and you can get on a quick diet and you can lose some weight, and now there's all kinds of things you can take to help lose weight and all. But a lot of times what happens is we don't learn how to change our lifestyle. And so we put the weight back on. And we give in, and it becomes, and again, there's all kinds of things that go into that, but it has to be, if I'm going to truly take care of my health and all, you hear people say, well, it's got to be a lifestyle change. Well, guess what? If we're truly going to be hungry for God, if we're truly going to declare His praises, we've got to change everything about our lives. We've got to allow Him to do it. So our lives have to circle around the cross. You heard me say this 100 times before. But here we say, hey, here's my life, God. I planted it in the ground. It's my family. It's my job. It's my schoolwork. It's my hobbies. It's my sports. It's my everything else is right here. None of those things in themselves are bad. But I need you to revolve around all that. Convenient store, convenient Christ. That's the way we treat it, right? I'm going to go in here real quick and get me something to drink. It's going to be convenient. It's going to be quick. Jesus, listen, if I got time to pray today, I will pray to you. But understand, let me fit you into my schedule. Folks, if that's our attitude, then we got to repent. That will get us lost. We better set the cross in the ground and revolve around it. Priorities matter. When we share the gospel, we're doing the work of God. Think of how special that is. Worship doesn't just lift hearts, it has to open mouths. The King we worship today commands us to go and represent Him every single day. So as we conclude this morning, let me ask this question. What if evangelism became our worship language? What if every gospel conversation was a song of praise to God? What if every invitation to worship was an offering of thanksgiving? What if we saw evangelism not as pressure, but as praise? Our identity? We are His. So you know what that means? We got to act like it. Our praise? That means we're going to declare what He's done. It's real easy to tell people what God has done for you. The Apostle Paul stood on trial. I know it was God's plan, and so I'm not going to try to ifs, ands, or buts it, but I would imagine a lot of us on trial would have been pleading for our lives, pleading for opportunities to get out of prison. You know what Paul was doing? He was telling people what Jesus Christ had done for him. Our mission? To extend His kingdom. That's what it's about. Our identity, our praise, our mission. The Bible reminds us that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Have you been brought out of darkness? See, a lot of us here, if not the majority of us, right, have done that. We stepped out of darkness and we stepped into light when we put Jesus Christ on. When we submitted our life to Him, we stepped out of darkness and we stepped into life. My life is no longer about me, it's about you. If that is you and that is me today, then guess what? Declare His praises. But maybe you're here today and your life is still intertwined with darkness. There's light available. That light is here today. There's a Savior ready. A Savior that's ready to give His blood once again because He shed it for all. If you will walk this aisle, confess His name, and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. So it comes down to, what are we going to do? Does it matter that much to us? If it does, let's keep declaring His praises. If it doesn't, let's change. If we need to come home, let's do it. And let's do it right now. Together, we stand and sing.